came and that you brought those fruitcake cookies. You looked cute in your sweater, by the way. I'm not saying that to butter you up, I mean it. Sometimes I like you so much, I can't stand it. It fills up inside me, all the way to the brim, and I feel like I could overflow. I like you so much, I don't know what to do with it. My heart beats so fast when I know I'm going to see you again. And then when you look at me the way you do, I feel like the luckiest girl in the world. Those things Josh said about you, they weren't true. You haven't brought me down, just the opposite. You've brought me out. You gave me my first love story, Peter. Please just don't let it be over yet. Love, Lara Jean. Chapter 1. Kitty's been a little complainer all morning, and I suspect both Margot and Daddy are suffering from New Year's Eve hangovers. And me? I've got hearts in my eyes and a letter that's burning a hole in my coat pocket. As we're putting on our shoes, Kitty's still trying to weasel her way out of wearing a humbug to Aunt Carrie and Uncle Victor's. Look at the sleeves! They're 3/4 length on me! Unconvincingly, Daddy says,
"They're supposed to be that way."
Kitty points to me and Margot.
"Then why do theirs fit?" she demands.
Our grandma bought the hanboks for us the last time she was in Korea. Margot's hanbok has a yellow jacket and apple green skirt. Mine is hot pink with an ivory white jacket and a long hot pink bow with flowers embroidered down the front. The skirt is voluminous, full like a bell, and it falls all the way to the floor, unlike Kitty's, which hits right at her ankles. "It's not our fault you grow like a weed," I say, fussing with my bow. The bow is the hardest thing to get right. I had to watch a YouTube video multiple times to figure it out, and it still looks lopsided and sad.
"My skirt's too short too," she grumps, lifting the bottom.
The real truth is, Katie hates wearing a hanbok because you have to walk delicately in it and hold the skirt closed with one hand or the whole thing comes open.
"All of the other cousins will be wearing them, and it will make Grandma happy," Daddy says, rubbing his temples. "Case closed."
In the car, Kitty keeps saying, "I hate New Year's Day," and it puts everyone but me in a sour mood. Margot is already in a semi-sour mood because she had to wake up at the crack of dawn to get home from her friend's cabin in time. There's also the matter of that maybe hangover. Nothing could sour my mood, though, because I'm not even in this car. I'm somewhere else entirely, thinking about my letter to Peter, wondering if it was heartfelt enough, and how and when I'm going to give it to him, and what he'll say, and what it will mean. Should I drop it in his mailbox? Leave it in his locker? When I see him again, will he smile at me, make a joke of it to lighten the mood? Or will he pretend he never saw it, to spare us both? I think that would be worse. I have to keep reminding myself that despite everything, Peter is kind and he is easygoing and he won't be cruel no matter what. Of that much, I can be sure.
"What are you thinking so hard about?" Kitty asks me.
I barely hear her.
"Hello?"
I close my eyes and pretend to be asleep. And all I see is Peter's face. I don't know what I want from him exactly, what I'm ready for, if it's boyfriend, girlfriend, heavy-duty, serious love, or if it's what we had before, just fun and some here-and-there kisses, or if it's something in between. But I do know I can't get his handsome boy face out of my mind. The way he smirks when he says my name, how when he's near me, I forget to breathe sometimes. Of course, when we get to Aunt Carrie and Uncle Victor's, none of the other cousins are wearing hanboks, and Kitty practically turns purple with the effort of not yelling at Daddy. Margot and I give him some side eye too. It's not particularly comfortable to sit around in a hanbok all day,